and brimstone from Kevin Stefanski, getting you ready for Thursday Night Football against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's like George C. Scott and Patton. Get on out there, boys.
You know, we posted a video yesterday where I said I couldn't believe the way Kevin sounded, and people were like, no, he sounds like that after every game. And I said, no, that's the point. This isn't every game anymore. That's not the state of affairs with the Browns. And if he feels this way now and he's still even keeled, like, is he doing the things necessary behind the scenes to kind of take control of what is a worsening situation?
God, who knows? Let's get the John Greco who joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. John, good morning to you. First question. Do you think Jameis Winston would make a good bridge quarterback? Lima disagrees with me. He thinks that his pregame speeches would become laborious for his teammates, even though somebody just sent us a video of Jameis Winston getting a literal receiving line from his former teammates in New Orleans.
Good morning, guys. Do I think Jameis would be a good bridge quarterback? I do. You know what you're going to get with him. He's going to be able to complete passes, challenge defenders down the field, you know, convert a lot of yards in the passing game, be able to, you know, create a little bit with his legs. And does he have a history of, you know, turning the ball over a little bit? Sure. But I think that there is no secret that the Browns offense looks different with him under center. As far as the pregame stuff, the locker room speeches, you know, the way he was received by former teammates. I mean, he was there for a long time. He won a lot of games in New Orleans. And, you know, quite frankly, guys love him. He's a great teammate. So everyone that I've ever known that has played with him, whether at Florida State or in the NFL, they love the guy. You know, we sometimes kind of chuckle and laugh at some of his, you know, pre-game remarks or media hits, but you know, I think it's genuine. I think he's just a unique guy, and the way he delivers his message is unique and colorful, and he's a big time character. And quite frankly, I think if you get the right guy at QB1 with him kind of in the room, being a resource, being a guy that's played a lot of snaps, that sees defenses a different way, that's separate from a coaching lens, I think it's beneficial. And I think, you know, if the Browns had him around, he'd be able to kind of, and they're competitive. If he's able to come in, I think he can help you win a game if something happens to your first string quarterback.
I guess, John, I just feel like if your quarterback room next year is Jameis and Deshaun Watson, I think a lot of fans are going to be out on that before the season even starts. There's not a lot of intrigue there. You know, at least like the Broncos decided to move on from the bridge quarterback to go with a guy that everybody was saying was very limited in Bo Nix. And I feel like their fans feel a lot more invested into what they're doing right now.
Who was the bridge? Are you saying Russell Wilson?
I don't think
Russell was the bridge.
Well, whatever it was, they could have chosen a Jameis Winston.
Well, they could have, yeah.
They decided to go with the Bo Nix.
Okay.
I'd rather go that route. Even if you're telling me all these rookie quarterbacks have limitations, I know what Jameis's limitations are. I know that over time, that's going to be a 500 to below quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, but then we're talking about, you know, completely ripping the Band-Aid off, going with a young quarterback, and just kind of saying, okay, we're bringing in yet another veteran quarterback, because I think having a veteran quarterback in the room is very important. And whoever's going to be coaching the Browns and calling plays and developing a hypothetical young quarterback next year, I think it's important to have veteran guys that have won games, that know what they're doing, and can help read defenses to assist a young quarterback. I think that's very important. So whoever that is, I mean, last year was Joe Flacco. You know, he moved on. You bring Jameis in. So every team has these guys that are these veteran presence in the locker room. And you know, are any of them able to go out and win 8 games? No. It's more of a patchwork thing, to where if you're a team that's, you know, competitive and going for a playoff, making a playoff run, and you have a quarterback that tweaks his hamstring or rolls an ankle and is out for 3 or 4 games, can you know, get you through those games at 500. That way it doesn't completely derail your season. So when your starter comes back, you're in a position to continue to win. That in my opinion is what a great backup quarterback does. I don't expect these guys to come in and light it up and go undefeated. If they did, they'd probably be starting on a different team. So no matter who they have next year, if we want to say, yeah, let's develop a young quarterback, and then you're starting to say, okay, well, then you're going to have another year of, well, we have to develop this guy, and then in year two, does he make a big jump? Okay, well, you know, we need to see progress. Year three, you know, that's where we're at. That's when we really make our mark. I think Browns fans, rightfully so, become so impatient because of everything that's going on. So I don't know how they're going to do it, but I think having a quote-unquote bridge guy to either where you're throwing a young rookie quarterback in there week one. I mean, we've seen what has happened with the Panthers, with Chicago now, with some of these teams. And then you have teams like Denver that you mentioned, obviously Washington, that's had instant success. So I think it all depends on, you know, who's calling plays, what the skill level looks around this guy, and how good the defense is, how great the culture is in the locker room to depend on his success.
John Greco joining us on the show. So Lyme and I said, you know, if they go out there and they get hammered, well, I had said it to him. I go, if they go out there and they get hammered on Thursday, maybe they would actually consider change. I don't think it's very likely, but I think maybe they would. I mean, you got a lot of fans there that are probably going to be wearing black and yellow. It's not going to be a fun atmosphere. And there were a couple of people go, why are we waiting? Why are we waiting? You saw what happened on Sunday. Why would you even wait? And I go, well, it's a four-day week. And I went, you know what? I'm going to ask John. John's the former player. John would know better. Why wouldn't you make changes going into an early week on a Thursday night?
Why would you not make changes going into a quick week?
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, they were off yesterday, right? And you essentially have 2 days of prep, of game prep, to go into a division opponent coming into your house. And you're trying to play spoiler. And if you make a big sweeping change, everyone's going to talk about it. It's a huge distraction that if that's the plan, you just have to wait a couple more days, if that's the plan. I just never like to see it. I've been on teams where the coach has been fired in the year, and it sucks. I mean, it's a kind of a sobering reminder of, hey, this thing, I mean, we've been playing like crap. Everybody's involved. Everybody's responsible. And, you know, there's an obvious lightning rod that has to take the hit and take the fall. So on short weeks, you know, it's hard enough to prepare for those things, get your guys that are dinged up healthy enough, to whatever that means, 70%, 80% to get ready to go on Thursday. But if you're talking about making a big sweeping change, everyone's got to talk about it to the media. It becomes a big distraction. The new guy comes in and it's well, you know, let's try to throw everything together and put the best looking product that we can out there on Thursday. But I think if that's the plan, I mean, why not just wait a few more days and make that decision? So that's where I'm at with that, especially on a short week.
John Greco with us on the hotline right now. So I ask you, John, because the Jed Will situation has been a roller coaster in recent weeks. We know he got a chance to defend himself, and he kind of made matters worse when he talked to reporters, and then was, what, a late scratch at the end of last week, so didn't even play, but now DeJuan Jones is out for the year again with another injury. So what do you make of the whole Jed Wills situation?
It's very messy, Anthony, and we talked about it on your show. You know, he did get a chance to defend himself, and I think maybe if he could take back just the way he delivered his explanation of why he wanted to sit out, I think he would. And Kevin Stefanski, you know, kind of did the right thing and said, well, you know, Jed just doesn't feel 100%. You know, he's injured. You know, he doesn't want to put the team at risk. And I've said that before, where if you don't feel like you are your best player, everybody's dinged. Everybody's banged up at this point. But if you're going to go out there and be a liability to where you're out there playing 30-40%, and you can, you know, run the risk of getting someone else hurt, then it's probably the right decision. But the way it was delivered was wrong, and I think everybody can agree on that. But it's a sticky situation now. Obviously, you lose a guy that's been playing two different positions in DeJuan Jones, left and right tackle. He's out for an extended period of time. You know, you're going to have to get him back healthy, and he's a big man. So, you know, supporting that weight on a fractured ankle, it's going to take a lot. to get him back to 100% healthy. But I don't know where they go from here. Obviously, if Jed wasn't healthy enough to start, and if he wasn't healthy enough to where he was being healthy scratched, I mean, what kind of message does it send if you're just saying, hey, let's get the guy back in there now? What's his mindset going to be? What's his attitude going to be? I don't know. At this point, I don't see how they can make that decision or make that move. Now, it's a short week. You know, do you have the guys on the roster that you can kind of plug and play and get people ready to play in a short amount of time? I don't know. We'll see what they do when they go out to practice today. But the whole situation is just so ugly and so murky right now because of the way that he approached the media during the bye week and all of the things we talked about. Now with an injury, it was kind of the worst-case scenario, and I'm curious to see what they're going to do.
John, you're glorious. We thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, my friend. All the best.
Guys, can't wait. I'll be keeping my eyes open for that Christmas card, Ken.
See? He appreciates it, Tone. That's what friendship is about. You wouldn't know anything about that, would you?
You have a lot of friends.